Hey, Shipper City, thanks for listening. Before we jump into the episode, do me a favor and consider tapping that support this podcast link in your favorite podcast player. Every little bit helps us stay on the air and keeps us creating the content that you love.
Be sure to follow along on social. We are on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at iShipItPod. You can head over to the website, iShipItPod.com, to sign up for email updates when new episodes are released. And you can send us emails at iShipItPod@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and review us on whatever platform you're listening to, and tell your friends that you ship it. So take a second, do all of that while you enjoy a word from our sponsors.
Thor ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in these fanfics.
It is a hot garbage fire.
Do you not know what sex pollen is?
I mean, Phantom Seed. What?
I don't care. I ship it. I don't care. I ship it.
Hey there, geek girls, geek boys, and geeks beyond the binary. This is Emily J with the I Ship It podcast, your safe space on the internet for fan fiction, fandom, and all that stuff you've been pretending you're not reading on your phones. Hello, my friends. We are still in our backlog of recording before my big giant move across the country. So TBH, I don't even know when you'll be hearing this episode. It's very exciting. The world could be a totally different place by the time this plays. But for right now, it's a great place because my friend is here. He was here once before and we had a great chat about Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters, but that was so long ago. I dragged him back. It's my friend Doc. Hi, buddy.
Hello. Hi. It has been entirely too long. The world changed too much.
It really did.
I got gray hairs and I lost more hair. I blame most of that on you.
Me? Okay.
I haven't been invited back. I thought I blew it.
No, man. It's that, you know, I just wait for people to be like, hey, can I come hang out on your podcast? I'm like, hey, man. Somebody was like, how do I get on your podcast? I'm like, you don't have to like call my agent or anything. Like, this is it. This is how you do it.
Well, then who did I talk to?
I don't know.
My God, it was 2 hours.
It was a rigorous interview. I had to provide all my research.
Yeah, she has my soch.
Let me track that bitch down. People are like, how do I get on your podcast? I'm like, this is it. This is the step. It's a one-step process. You ask this question. I say, what are we going to talk about? You could say literally anything. You're like, I'm going to tell you about the wrapping paper fandom. And I'm like, bitch, I'm here for it. Put a time on the calendar.
You know what we should do, though, next time? Mm. Miley Cyrus and Wendy's fries. Opinions. That's an inside joke, y'all.
Sorry, guys. This is an inside joke. Also, Frosties. Anyway. Now we're hungry. Now we want snacks. We'll pause the recording.
It ain't too late. They're open till 2.
I was going to say, pause the recording, go get our snacks, come back, then do it. Yeah. Further delay this episode we've been trying to record for a month and a half. All right. Well, okay. So now that I have Doug back, we came up with an idea. I say we. I don't remember who it was. I'm going to say it was probably you, and I'm taking a lot of credit for it. Big surprise. where we had a bunch of stuff we wanted to talk about, and then it was like, oh, these are all these. We could work something out that encompasses all of these things so that we don't have like 19 separate episodes that we want to do. Not that I wouldn't love to talk to you 19 times in front of all our friends and family here in Shipper City, but it does take us a while to coordinate schedules, i.e. 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's mostly my bad.
You have a very, very, very hard schedule to schedule things around. I do nothing. So
again, I blew it. Thanks for reminding me. Oh, I'm going to have a job that takes all my time.
I move pixels about. For like 8 hours a day, sometimes. I don't think that my schedule is the one that we have to work around.
I'll move in America, one train at a time.
I know. He works on the railroad, guys, all the live long day.
Literally. Like 12, 16 hours a day.
Literally. And I was like, I feel bad when I'm like, you want to talk about podcast stuff now? And
he's that's like, all I want to do.
I've been working for 18 hours. Anyway. Anyway, I ask for something, Doc comes through. That's how it works.
It's true.
And what we decided we were going to talk about this week, and actually this is going to be the first of a three-part series, which we never do. We never do series. We never have anything that is consistent or like regular or anything here in Shipper City. So this is a big deal. So we're going to do the first part today, and then we'll record the other two parts later on. Hopefully next, like it will be within a normal amount of time. So it's not like we'll release part one to, you know, you'll hear it today whenever you're hearing it. And then like in 4 years,
part 2027, two. Mark your calendars. Here comes part two.
If I'm still doing this in 2027, oh my God.
You're nailing it.
I better be on with Marin or some shit, because that's going to be a lot.
Oh, that'd be nice to meet him.
He seems like a great guy. I want to hang out with his cats. Yeah. Chester Kitten.
I'd be amazed if he was actually a mean person.
Same. But anyway, we are going to do this three-part series, and we're going to do kind of like, a storytelling perspective, I guess, because something that is cool that has happened unexpectedly with this podcast is that people have reached out and said that some of the things that we talk about on this podcast help them to be a better writer, whether that's fan fiction or original fiction or poetry or whatever. Somehow, some of the shit that comes out of my face when I unhinge my jaw and vomit into the microphone every week, I don't know what I say until I listen to it later on. There's nothing connecting the brain and the mouth. But some people have taken advice from this and put it to good use. And to that, I say, bravo. I take no credit in that. I think you're amazing. So well done, you people who have done that. So I thought, let's do something for those people and anybody else maybe who needs a little extra, I don't want to say help, but like inspiration. Let's say inspiration.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah. When it comes to writing. So what we're going to talk about in these three parts, big shock, it's going to be trilogies. A trilogy about trilogies.
And that was my idea.
It was Doc's idea. Jer asked if we had to do three episodes to talk about the trilogies. And I was like, yes.
Does he hate symmetry? Like, what's wrong with?
Are you high? Of course we do. What are we going to do? Four parts? Two parts? Are you insane? Do you hate me? Do you think I could live with myself?
We will hobbit this right now. All right. Yeah, we could talk that much, but we're going to talk.
We're going to talk two extra movies worth.
And that's how we do it.
And that's how we do it. We can expand a single film script into three movies and a miniseries if need be. But we are going to start with you know, the part one, the intro today. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite trilogies and what we think makes a good story and what elements we like. And we're just going to see where that takes us. So to begin our trilogy talk, part one, let's start, I don't know, at the beginning?
Sure.
All right. I have questions that I wrote up. All right. So when you think about a trilogy, if you're going to start, what do you think are some standard elements that should be included in the first part?
So in my approach on it, and when I try and think about the things that I like to write or things that I want to watch, and more specifically read, I narrowed it down to about five core things that I want. And the first, and arguably the most important, is an immediate character intrigue.
Okay.
So right away, I want to read or see somebody and I want to know why I should care. Because if I'm going to be invested in somebody, then I gotta know right off the jump.
Especially for three parts, right?
Yeah. So, you know, very often you go into Barnes & Noble or somewhere and you see 20 or 30 books on a shelf, all by the same author, same thing. It was like, well, that first book must be awesome. So that first character better be good. So if I see a movie with a really good first intro to a character and something jumps at me, I'm going to think, yeah, this probably has the legs for more movies. And then usually it does anymore these days. So that's what I need. I need to know that this character is going to be interesting.
Yes, I agree. Character. I mean, I will put character over plot, honestly.
Like, exactly.
There are characters that I like that I'm like, you were not serviced by the material you were given, which is really where fanfic comes in.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly right. You guys are blowing it because of executive producers. I will tell you how this story should go.
Listen, I'm taking the liberty of sprucing up your boy, okay? I'm going to just take this and do what you should have done, you fucking cowards.
Yeah.
As always, I speak directly to Marvel.
Yeah. So another thing, and this goes across everything too, but particularly for a trilogy format, mm-hmm. I need a firm description or a sense of where we are. So you have to stick to your world. I need to know where we are, why we're there. And I know that that seems somewhat generic for the sense of a plot, but you can have one-shot stories where you're all over the map, you're all over the place. But if you're going to do a trilogy and you're going to be on a long journey, that map needs to be laid out and it needs to make sense why. You can't just mm-hmm. go. That's stupid. It's boring, it's confusing, and it makes a tough read.
It's true. It's true. This is not something, I don't think this is something that I asked, but I'm just curious. Do you like a slow lead in or do you like a needle drop?
It depends on what. So for fantasy, I like a slow build. But if it's sci-fi, I kind of like a little bit of speed only because sci-fi can get awfully confusing, based on what kind of sci-fi story you want to have. Mm-hmm. So I need to have things developed rather quickly for me to maintain interest. So then I can get bogged down by jargon or the ridiculous rules that sci-fi makes for itself. So, for me, it's genre dependent.
All right, cool. Okay. Keep going. What are the other things you like?
Yeah. So I want interesting but not obvious plot points. So when you could start picking out those rising action moments, I want to keep it in the back of my head, but it's not like, you know, oh, okay, well, that's obviously the whole purpose of this. No, I want I want to establish multiple sidelines, side stories, B roles, C roles. I want that in there because that makes it something for me to pay attention to the whole time. It makes it worth watching three parts. Mm-hmm. And character interactions and relationships. I want that built quickly, but I don't want it obvious. So, kind of a good one about that was how Lord of the Rings opens up and you know that everybody knows Gandalf, but you don't know why. There's mystery enshrouded, right. But you know, there's something more to the guy because of what he can do. Right. And I just think that was one of the more brilliant ways to introduce a character and make you want to know. So if I'm asking questions about a character as soon as I see him, that's not just, well, who's that? And it's like, why? If I'm asking why more than who, that's a good character right away. And that's what I like.
Yeah. I mean, I think that when Frodo goes like, Gandalf, and he like jumps down and he's all excited to see him. And then like, you find out that like, it's Bilbo and Gandalf that have the history. So like, why does, like, how much has Gandalf been around and how much, you know, is he like everybody's favorite giant gay uncle?
Exactly.
Because they're hobbits, because they're small.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a good. Did you get them all, or am I cutting you off?
I got one last one. Okay. And then the last, and this gets very muddled, and I don't know. It's easier in books. It often gets muddled in movies and stuff like that. But the rules of your universe. So by that I mean a coherent system. We'll just say of magic for an easy example. Mm-hmm. Magic has consequences. Magic has a rhyme or reason, a source. That needs to be consistent. Whenever you start pulling from multiple things and you start confusing it, then it taints or it really dilutes the cohesiveness of your story. You need to, that's why Harry Potter worked really well. It made sense where things came from. So that you need to be true to what your rules are. Which is difficult.
It is difficult, especially if you're writing fantasy or sci-fi. There can be, I think that there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of temptation, I guess, to be like, well, they're in space, so they can, this is, you know, 700 years in the future and they're in space, so they can do whatever they want. Well, mm-hmm. like, that's not interesting. And it's going to have consequences later on if there's no because then there's no stakes, I guess, is what it is.
Yes,
if there's no limitations, there's no rules, then there's no stakes. And yeah, everybody can do whatever the fuck they want. And that's just not, that's not interesting to read.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, these are all things that make a great story regardless, you know, if it's a trilogy or not. But I think that they're really important to talk about for a first part, just because, yeah, because there is more at stake and there's more on the line. And if you don't hook everybody with the first installment, then there's no point in going on. So, okay, let's jump a little bit. But why do you think that, like, the three-part arc, it's obviously really popular, it's really, you know, not overused, but it's used very frequently. Why do you think that that arc works so well?
People's need, and me in particular, a need for a sense of closure and closing all gaps and holes in a story. So if you have three stories to work over and you can close up and cinch every part of it, it's something very satisfying about that, to know that when you finish the story, you don't have questions. Mm-hmm. And if a trilogy that's done well, you will leave that saying, I enjoyed that. If you're asking questions at the end, then it wasn't done right. You lost your focus at some point, or you forgot to revisit something, mm-hmm. or something that you didn't anticipate on being interesting turned out to be. And what? How could you miss that? Like, you made that, like, that should have been addressed. So that's why I like it. Closure.
Also, and just because this is a fan fiction podcast, I don't think that wanting to write fanfic about a film or about a book or whatever, when it's done, if it's a, I mean, any multi-part or standalone story, I don't think leaving that experience being like, I want to write fic about that, is necessarily a sign that, like, there was something incomplete about the story.
No, not at all. No, because the difference in what you're saying, and I'm sorry to cut you off, is, you know, if when you write a fan fiction about it, it's, I like this so much, I want to write another adventure. I'm not right. changing the adventure they were on. I'm writing a new one because it was so good. I want to make that too. And that's different. Yes. That's an honoring. That's an homage, not an edit.
I think, well, there are two kinds. I mean, I will firmly stand there are two kinds of fanfic. One is a love letter.
Yes.
And one is a strongly worded email. Sadly, since 2019, I have been writing a lot of strongly worded emails.
Yeah.
They started out as love letters back in 2016 or 2014 or whenever I started this bullshit. But they as choices were made, and I promise I'm not going to clock in and go down to the salt mines of Endgame. But as choices were made, my letters became less flowery. Mm-hmm. And now it's just, Dear Russo Brothers, per my last fucking email.
Yeah.
Let's circle back, motherfuckers.
Please and thank you.
Please and thanks. Thank you in advance. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to help this along. Yeah. So I think that, you know, the homage that you're talking about, that's a sign of, like, that's just love. That's just, I want to see more of this because I loved it so much, versus, yeah, the I'm fixing this because you fuckers don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
Which, you know,
yeah,
is deeply cathartic, but
we're
not necessarily.
Yeah. Not we're having necessarily a good time. We don't got to be mad about this.
The time. Listen, I'll die mad about it. It's going on my grave. It's turning into a big list of things that are going on my grave, but, you know, I'm adding that.
Well, I you know, they do the digital headstones now. It doesn't have to be carved. So
No, I'm extra. I want it carved.
No, see, it's got to be so that, you know, when you go there and it's a nonstop scroll. So you're like, I missed the intro again. And then you just sit there and it takes 2 hours to run through it.
I don't know if I told you this. It's my favorite dream I ever had, which is so fucking morbid. I had a dream that I died.
Oh.
And that... This wasn't the good part. The best part about dying was that Ange was really sad. All right. This is terrible. The best part of my dream about me dying was obviously Ange was distraught, right? And she missed me naturally. And she went to my grave where my headstone said, like, Emily J dates beloved wife, friend, whatever. And then my quote was, get your shit together, Kelly.
She said it in life and she means it in death.
She was like, I told her that. She's like, Emily, I am so mad at you. I was like, oh, you were so mad in the dream too. You were like, fuck you. You got the last word forever. Yeah. She's like, no, I hate you because you are that petty and that catty and you would do something like that. I would. Yes, I absolutely would. I have a few things in my will. We play Yeah by Usher at the funeral. And that's on my tombstone.
Story checks out. Like, it's fine.
Also, I want the lyrics printed on an insert and handed out so that, you know, at the ludicrous part, we can all join together as we did at the bar, all the bars in 2007, and join together in unity and say we want a lady in the street but a freak in the bed.
Quite frankly, if it doesn't happen that way, I will make a stink about it.
As I'm being carried out by the pallbearers, that's what I want playing. Make a note.
You think I haven't already?
Jilly is my executor of my will, and every so often she'll like text me and be like, hey, is this still good? You still want this? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Thank you for checking in. If I get too sad on Instagram, she checks in. She's like, hey, am I gonna have to put any of this shit into
No.
No, I'm fine. I just had a bad day at work and I'm fucking dramatic about it. Get over it. But yes, keep Usher on standby at all times.
That's just good advice and for life.
It is. You find somebody who doesn't like Yeah by Usher, and I find you somebody with Voldemort living inside of them.
We don't need to talk to them.
We need to talk. Now that I have gotten us thoroughly off topic,
perfect.
Let's go back.
Oh, okay.
What are some of your favorite trilogies?
You know, there's quite a few.
I know, we made a huge list.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll mention them, and then we're going to come back to them and talk about them, why they do and don't work. So I guess, well, one of my favorite, and I wish that they had gotten their fair shake to make a bunch of movies, but one of my favorite trilogy books is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
It is astoundingly funny, well-written. It's just so good. And I can't believe that they didn't get a second movie. It really bummed me out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's a bummer. Back to the Future, of course. You can't talk trilogies without talking Back to the Future. It's
perfection.
The Christopher Nolan's Batman. And I know we had our back and forth about whether to mention it or not. I'm just going to throw this out there and we can argue. But I have to say Star Wars original trilogy.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is because time difference and telling different stories. So even though everything connects.
Like, I think that we could talk about I think if you're going to talk about Star Wars, you can't talk about it as like a 9-part arc because there's just too much shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's the same family technically, but.
But they're all completely different stories, even though, you know, similar characters, but the plot was different each time. Right. So that's, you can argue that it's all one because it's all the same world. I can argue that it's three separate stories in that universe.
I'm not going to argue with you. I think we're in agreement.
Because I have yet to win an argument with you. And I wasn't ready to lose at 10:05 on the 19th. I wasn't
Mark
ready.
The time.
I had to. Mike got an amicable truce. But some other trilogies that you know hit home for me. It's another book series. It's called The Way of Shadows. It's by Brent Weeks. It's slightly popular, somewhat lesser known, I guess, if it depends on how much you read that style of story. They're thick books, and it takes a long time to get into it. But once the ball starts rolling, you just keep flying. But we're talking 500-600 pages. You're like, small print. You're like, oh, what is this? 11 Arial? Like, this is rough.
To quote my grandmother, you got to take a vitamin just to lift the damn thing.
Yeah. And, you know, we've mentioned, you know, a lot of dramas, and usually that's what people think of, actions and dramas. But I think a really compelling argument for a well-done trilogy that's a comedy is the Naked Gun trilogy.
Okay. Fair. Yeah.
I know it's not for everybody.
No. That's not one I would have thought of because, yeah, you don't really think of comedies in it, which is funny because comedy comes in threes. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. And a lot of people blow it. But Leslie Nielsen is that good that he was funny for three movies. They had a lot of source material, but it was still amazing. And I'll just throw one more out there. And this isn't particularly one of my favorite, but I know a lot of people do enjoy it. It's often the Jersey trilogy, and that would be Clerks, Mallrats, and Chasing Amy.
Okay.
So I like Mallrats and Chasing Amy. I have never liked Clerks.
I don't like Clerks either, but Mallrats. And
it's strictly the banter. I can't handle banter. It's too fast. And I need to breathe.
Mallrats played an embarrassingly large role in my adolescence, my upbringing.
Were you offering chocolate covered pretzels to everyone?
I was not. No, thank you. I'm going to go vomit. But it was a movie that my brother had on VHS that was just on all the time. And like, I think about like it's probably once a week that some quote from Mallrats just like floats mm-hmm. through my mind. And to know me, you know, I spent a lot of my time having friends who said things like, oh, we went to go see this insert name of comedy, comma, you would have hated it, Emily. Which is weird, right? Because I think I'm funny, obviously. You don't have your own fucking podcast if you don't think you're the funniest person in the room. But yeah, so the fact that like Mallrats and Jay and Silent Bob in general played like had such a formative influence on me as a person, because I think I saw it in like fifth grade.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's just little, it's like stupid little moments where like I go to fill up a drink or something and it's always like, fill this with Coke, no ice. His little Dixie cup.
Yeah.
He takes shots up all day. But yeah, so that's interesting. Yeah, the Jersey trilogy. What was I
going to say? You have any to add?
I do, yes. Sorry, I got distracted by Mallrats. I do have something to add. So my two that I'm, well, two, there's two that is immediately coming to mind. Well, no, there's more than that. Fine. We'll just start talking and see what happens. So obviously we got to say Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Because I have that tattooed on my skin.
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
No, I do not consider Indiana Jones a four-part because we are pretending that Crystal Skull did not happen.
Oh, there's... We're gonna talk about that and why I think you may need to make the distinctions and lines to breaks in the story.
Yes. Also, well, same thing with Pirates too. Pirates as well. Not Pirates. Yeah. Pirates as well, because there are four parts. I've never seen the fourth one because I thought that the way that Pirates of the Caribbean, that whole story concluded, I thought it was one of the most satisfying Disney movie trilogies that I've ever experienced, and that I thought every character had a perfect arc, however they went through it. And when I heard that they were making a fourth one, I was like, joyless cash grab.
Yes. And I think I think there might be five Pirates movies.
Well, even worse.
It's to your point. Yeah.
Yes.
But we'll talk about that too.
But yeah, I mean, with Hunger Games being, you know, seeing the book, well, no. I saw the first movie. No idea what was happening. I didn't even know it was a book. And then I recalled about halfway through, I was sitting there with my sister and she's on the edge of her seat, like riveted because she was the appropriate age to be obsessed with this movie and had read all the books. And we went to see the movie and I was like shockingly invested. And at the by the end, where like the action has all, you know, kind of like it's ramping up and it's like the big showdown and she's being chased by the dogs or whatever. I was like, oh my God, I hope she's okay. And then I was like, wait, I think there are more of these. I think she must have to be okay. Because I think there are other stories in her story. And I'm thinking it's probably not going to be like, wow, look at this single contained episode of The Hunger Games where we watch this girl that you rooted for the whole time be ripped to pieces on live television.
Right.
Harold, hi.
Oh, you did hear him.
I did. Hi.
All right, buddy. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, with Hunger Games, I saw the first movie and I was like, wow, I'm like surprisingly into this girl's struggle. So I read the first book, and I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but whatever. I read the first book and then I got it on like a Wednesday or something. And then I went to, I read it at work.
It's the loudest son of a bitch. Sorry.
Like all day Thursday and then all day Friday. And I remember we were going out to dinner with my mother-in-law. We were taking her out for dinner. And I asked Jared to stop at Walmart on the way home. I was like, hey, I have to get something at Walmart on the way home. Can we stop? And he was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And like, I was not paying attention at all during dinner. I was like super distracted. And then I get, you know, into the store, I buy the last two books and I come back out and he was like, this is what we had to get. Like, I thought you meant like eggs or some shit. I was like, no, I need these books because I need to know what happened. And he was like, all right, whatever. He's the most accommodating man in the world. But yeah, and I fucking like mainlined them. And that was actually one of the few books that I remember I was getting toward the end. And I was checking to see how much I had left of like the whole trilogy,
right.
Like the final book. I was getting to the end of it. And I kept checking to see how much I had left. And I didn't want to know what happened. But I was like, I need to read slower. I don't want this to be over yet.
Yet.
Harold.
Sorry,
guys. Harold wanted to be on the podcast.
He didn't sign the non-disclosure.
He didn't talk to my agent. Yeah, Harold, sorry. You gotta prep, buddy. Also, the Southern Reach trilogy, which I don't know if you know this one.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
So we were talking before we started recording about the movie Annihilation. The Southern Reach trilogy is the series that movie is based on. The first book in the Southern Reach trilogy is called Annihilation. And Alex Garland made that movie based on the story and also how he felt and like the things that he was imagining when he was reading the full trilogy. So something we're going to talk about a little bit later on of like books or things that like one shots that you thought really should have been or could have been more, like you with Hitchhiker's Guide. Like I love the movie Annihilation, but it's so different from the book that you really have to divorce the two. And I really wish that actual Southern Reach trilogy was turned into three movies, because I think that would be really great sci-fi. But yeah, so those are my, I don't know how many that was, 4, 5.
It's a good list.
I think it's a solid list.
Yeah.
All right. So some of our foods. Okay. Let's go back to my questions. So we were talking like slow build versus cold open or needle drop. What are some of like some examples that you can think of a really strong opening? Like not even the whole story, but like the first, we're in there, you know?
So, you know, we kind of touched on all of them, you know, with Back to the Future, which has one of the strongest starts to it. I mean, the movie just doesn't stop once it starts going. I mean, the action just keeps building and building, and you're learning every minute of those movies. There's no slow part, which is astounding.
I'm going to say this a million times. It needs to be said that I believe this in my soul. Back to the Future, the first yeah. is, I believe, a perfect film.
Yeah, I mean, for what it tried to accomplish in terms of cohesion, acting, production, every inch of it, it's just really, really well done.
There's no part of it that is wasted. I just think, like, if you're studying film, people look at me like I'm stupid, and I'm like, no, watch Back to the Future, yeah. and then feel free to watch the rest of it and see how, even though they didn't start out making a trilogy, that how it all connects. But the first Back to the Future, I think, is.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfection. No argument from me.
Perfection.
Indiana Jones, for my list of five things, from the top, Indiana Jones nails all of those immediately. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing, especially older movies, and things that don't have books to base things on. You know, you make a movie and you don't know if it's going to go on. So you've got to make something awesome. But a really creative or smart writer or director will leave pieces to it that can lead to more movies. And we'll talk about that structure either in this one or maybe the other podcast. But mm-hmm. Indiana Jones as a structure, the bones and the skeleton of a story like that lend themselves to multiple adventures. Really good.
Right.
And that, for me, is one of the strongest openings to a movie franchise, is Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Great first installment. You know, I don't know anybody that doesn't like it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. It's not my favorite of the three, but...
No, but it's really
good. It's amazing. But I can't imagine watching that and thinking, like, I don't need any more of that.
Yeah. And my last one, because like I said, the movies I mentioned earlier, they all hit this with strong openings, but the one that probably shocked me the most, and I was super excited the whole time, was The Mummy. I thought The Mummy 1 hit so hard because I'm a big Brendan Fraser fan. Fraser.
Awesome.
And that movie changed a lot of what action movies could and should be, and what trilogy setups, adventure films. He kind of brought a different life to adventure films again. And you know, he was the closest approximation to Indiana Jones. Uh-huh. Not quite the same person, you know.
But
that movie was so good. So
Roguish Adventurer. You know, I don't know if you spend any time on Tumblr. I spend too much time on Tumblr. And they fucking love The Mummy over there on Tumblr. And rightly so. I mean, I talk about how my brother watched Mallrats once a week. Once I got The Mummy on VHS, like, that shit was over, okay? Like, it was every day. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be Evie Carnahan so badly. Like, I tried to get my mom to teach me how to, like, curl my hair the way that she was. And she was like, honey, I can't teach you that because she's wearing a wig. And I was like, no, it has to be her real hair. And she's like, I promise it is not. It is not her real hair. Watch her brush it. We had, like, a whole come to Jesus talk about it. Anyway.
Because she just brushes the bottom. She doesn't actually.
Yeah. And she tries to brush the top, but like then it doesn't move. Anyway, it's definitely a wig. But that movie is so good on so many levels. But it's also that, like, I would say The Mummy and then the first Pirates of the Caribbean are two that I watched that I loved. And I didn't really think about whether or not we were going to get another one. Like, I felt like it was such a great, full, fun adventure. And it came to a really satisfying conclusion. But this kind of leads into the next question, too, of like, it's kind of, they're both sort of episodic. That first one where you think like, yeah, that's OK, that's the end. You know, that's where we're at. Whereas or like the first Iron Man, too. Iron Man as well.
Yes.
When they don't have fancy names.
Yeah.
You have to be specific. Yeah. The first Iron Man, like also, and granted with Marvel, they didn't know what was going to happen. That was a big gamble. Obviously it paid off.
Yeah.
But so, you know, the first Iron Man could just be watched as a single, this is a comic book movie, this is Iron Man. Like, yeah, it, obviously it left the door wide open for more stories, but it didn't have to. Like, if it was, if that was it, cool. Whereas I think if you get to, like, the end of the first Hunger Games and you realize, like, this is, we're just getting started. Like, this there's got to be more to this. Like, this can't be it. Because it's one big continuous story chopped up, you know? Yeah. And I think the Star Wars trilogy is like that as well.
Yeah.
The individual pieces.
Yeah. And that kind of goes to a central part of writing in general, is intent. Yeah. So, you know, comic books by nature are meant to be long stories, but you can isolate issues or a storyline into one thing. So that's what makes them interesting, is that you could put them together as, and that's why comic books often broken up into different series. So mm-hmm. Spider-Man is a great example. Most people know him as the Amazing Spider-Man, but he's Ultimate Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, Fantastic, like, he's been all over. And each one of those, it's always Peter Parker, always the same things, but different kinds of adventures that go on. So you can look at it as just one, you can look at it as a bunch, but the intent, and that's Hunger Games, full intention, making multiple. Iron Man had the framework to do multiple, right. But if it was a one and done.
Yes.
And that's
same thing. Yeah. I think same thing could be said about The Mummy.
Yes.
Where, you know, yeah, in the classic Mummy movies, the Mummy always comes back.
Yes.
But if he didn't, it would still be one of the most satisfying movies ever. And, you know, Brendan Fraser would still be the dreamiest of dreamboats, who just wants to go on adventures and loves his wife.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you just have to watch George of the Jungle. If you can't get any more.
Listen.
You don't have to tell me.
No, I do have to tell you. Because something about George of the Jungle that somebody on Tumblr pointed out was the reason that it feels so different. Like, when you watch it, is that it's entirely, like, there's no male gaze in George of the Jungle. Like,
yeah.
And George is, you know, super sexy. But he's also, like, very, like, he listens to Amy. You know, he listens to her when she talks, and he wants to know what she's like. And sometimes he just feels a little, you know, feels like dressing a little special today. So he puts flowers in his hair, and he, you know, like, he's a very non-threatening, uber masculine character. And, you know, I think that, like, there was so little of that. And I also feel like, I mean, maybe that's just Brendan Fraser. I don't know. But in The Mummy as well, this is going to turn into a Mummy podcast. this is going to turn into a Brendan Fraser appreciation podcast.
I win.
Doc's secret plans are revealed. oh my God. What the fuck was that voice?
That's the villain laugh.
Stop. I hate it. Stop. Ew. You're turning me into a villain. I hate it.
Sorry.
Sorry. But no, I mean, Rick, what's his face? Rick, what is his last name? O'Connell. Thank you. I had Evie in my head going, Mr. O'Connell? But Rick O'Connell is also super masculine, but like a badass and can shoot lots of people and kills a lot of dudes. But he's also, like, non-threatening when it comes to, like, I don't think Evie's ever afraid of him, nor no. does she have any reason to be, because, like, she's annoyed with him and, you know, they have their great, you know, if you call that a kiss moment. But, you know, enemies to lovers, whatever. We all love it. He's a non-threatening character that you do care about the second he's on screen. Like, even though when I was 12 and I was watching the whole, you know, Foreign Legion scene, I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. But I was like, I want to know if this guy's going to be okay. And then, of course, you know, the next time you see him, he's not.
Yeah.
He's very much not okay. But anyway. See what happens when you bring up George of the Jungle?
No, it's
all
fine.
Hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is what we're talking about, like with needle dropping, as well as like Lord of the Rings, for instance, obviously is going to be a whole thing, right? The whole thing. They couldn't have stopped at the Fellowship of the Ring. I didn't know that there were more movies. Did I tell you this story?
No.
You'll hear what a genuine jackass I am. I didn't know that Lord of the Rings was like a trilogy.
It's technically not, just the movies only.
Well, I didn't know that they were books even. Let's push those glasses up there, sir. I didn't even know there were books. This is the kind of dumbass that you're friends with.
Just for these moments.
Yoink. Thank you. Thank you for pushing up those glasses and correcting me on some bit of nerd trivia. No, I didn't know they were books because I'm an asshole. And I didn't know that the movies were going to be a trilogy. So I went to the first movie and was watching it and was like checking my watch. I was like, wow, this is a lot of exposition. They haven't done anything yet. They're really gonna take a lot. Like, they're gonna, like, this last 15 minutes better pack a punch because they got some shit to do. And then, like, they get
15 minutes.
Literally never said I was smart ever. I said I was funny and I said I was pretty. I never once said I was smart. And yeah, so they got to the end and they're like, there it is, there's whatever. They're on top of the mountain and they're looking at the thing and it's so far away.
So far.
And they're like, there's the place we have to go. And I was like, you guys better fucking leg it. Like, I gotta work in the morning. What are we doing? Like,
call an Uber. You guys are ruining it.
You guys got to get there. You guys got some shit to do.
They're worrying about second breakfast all the time.
I mean, there's all kinds of eating. There's like, everybody gets fucking captured and shit. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on in that first movie that I was like, we are really wasting time here, fellas. Let's wrap it up. They get to the end. They tell me there's the thing we have to do. And then it's credits. And I was like, where the fuck is the rest of the movie? And my brother, horrified that he came from the same gene pool as some rube such as myself, was like, it doesn't come out for like 2 years. And I was like, well, what the fuck happens? How do you know that? And he was like, because there's, oh boy. Uh-huh. So that's me. But you know, you couldn't stop, obviously. You couldn't stop at the end of the first, like if they were like, sorry, Pete, we're only going to fund you for the first movie. We'll see how it goes. Like, they had to know they were going to make the other two.
Well, fun bit of trivia about that too. The original film studio that he went to, and he just like became completely discredited and lost everything. Weinstein.
Oh, okay.
He told him, you have to make this into one movie. People aren't going to sit and watch for three. We're not going to fund three. Your idea, it's not going to happen. You got to condense this into one. He said, absolutely not. And then he found a studio that backed him to let him tell the story a little more long-winded.
Have fun getting whatever in prison there, Harvey.
Oh, I hope everything horrible.
Everything horrible happens to you, Harvey. And you're also dumb and have bad ideas. So on top of being the scum of the earth, dumb and have bad
ideas.
He's
also dumb,
I'm glad that Peter Jackson did not have his name attached to that piece of shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
just in case someone was wondering why Lord of the Rings isn't a trilogy.
Yes, the story, please tell me this.
The story is the Lord of the Rings, and it's three sections of one story. And the only reason it's broken into sections and not distinctions as a different book is because it is that same tale, just different people. So it's always the same people intersecting. It's just different stages of the journey. So that's why it's not a trilogy. It's one contiguous story in sections.
All right. Now, I don't own the books, obviously, but are they three books, even though they are?
They became easier, and obviously for cash grabs, people are more willing to spend $7 or $8 three times than, you know, $21 one time.
Obviously. Are there copies of The Lord of the Rings that it's just one
book? I'm sure that there are out there that so originally was intended and supposed to be printed and all that stuff. I personally haven't found anybody. I also don't really look for them because I bought them separately years ago. So,
right, yeah.
But I know that even when you listen to the audiobooks, it's mm-hmm. book two, but it's like, you know, section two of it. Oh, okay. So even though there's chapters within it, but it's that whole story. That's why each one is also titled separately. So it's uh-huh. The Lord of the Rings Fellowship, Lord of the Rings, yes. Two Towers, Lord of the Rings. So that's why, you know, just that right. little distinction. That's why The Hobbit shouldn't have been broken into a trilogy, because it's just.
Correct.
Yeah. But that was all money. But
That was definitely all money. But okay. So. I did ask a question. I don't know if you have an answer for this, because after I wrote it, I was like, I don't know that I have an answer for this. What is an intro or a first part of a thing series that worked, but like maybe it shouldn't have?
Yeah, I actually, I do have a couple, and we talked about them, and it's mostly the comedies, but I'll start with a book series. And actually it's the book series that I told you I was going to mail to you, and I've always had it in a box, and it never made its way across the country.
Well, don't worry.
Now I can drive them to
it.
You.
Just drive it up north.
but it's, I just have the first book title. I forget what the overall thing. It's The Red Pyramid. So it's another different segment by Rick Riordan, and he made Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Yes.
So those Percy Jackson, if anybody listening hasn't read those, mm-hmm. really, really well done. They're super fast, easy reads. It's great. It's about kids that are the kids of gods. They're demigods. Yes. So mm-hmm. think like Hercules, but they're all different like that. But it's amazing story, super fun. But he found his wheelhouse writing those kinds of things based in steeped in gods. So mm-hmm. he went and did Greek gods. He did Roman gods, which was very successful. He did Nordic gods, which saw more success. And the one section that you would think would be successful, because as kids, I feel like most everybody was obsessed with Egyptian gods.
Yes. Everybody had an Egypt phase. I'm still in mine.
Yeah. I mean, I love them. They're very compelling. They're very different type of gods. Very interesting. However, those stories didn't take off the same way. And I believe it's because of how he had the dynamic of mm-hmm. Said characters. It was different from the normal formula. And I think people weren't keen on the deviation at the time that he published them. If he had done that a little more recently, I think they would have seen more success. You know, it had the same formula, just different main characters. It was split between two instead of just having a central one with two best friend type of thing.
Okay.
So it should have worked. It really should have. It worked well enough for me. And he did make three books. But is it
not the full series?
He ended up making it the finale in the third book because it just wasn't peddling. Yeah. So it works. But it probably shouldn't, because he changed how he did it. You know, he found success, but he, you know, he moved a variable and then he changed the whole thing. So, you know, it worked, but it didn't end up working.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair.
Okay. I had a couple more, but okay.
Yeah. So, no, I'm glad, because I don't, so.
And this is comedies, but Austin Powers. Yeah, by all accounts, it probably shouldn't have taken off. It was funny, very much had a lot of good things about the first one as a parody to wildly successful Bond movies. Mm-hmm. But it should not have hit as hard as it did, but boy, did it ever.
Yeah, it just struck a chord. That's hilarious, because you're completely right. There's no reason that there should have been more Austin Powers in the world, except everybody was like, yes, more.
Yeah, Like the yeah, baby just worked, and like it was just so funny to see a hyperbolized or just version of and just that parody version of James Bond, and it just worked. But Naked Gun to that same effect should not have hit as hard, just because of how goofy it is. And usually goofy comedies don't take off unless it's a niche crowd, like the Ernest series of movies, Jim Varney movies. That's pretty specific style of humor.
Yeah.
And they're great within the people that like it, but it's another thing that you don't understand why it works, but boy, do you love them. If you do love them.
Right.
It's very divisive, and that's, but the Austin Powers, Naked Gun, I would argue to say more people like them than don't like them.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm with you. Yep.
And, to circle right back to the one of the first ones was the Jersey trilogy, because I thought Clerks had nothing to it. It was a very flat, boring story with like nothing that happened, but some way, somehow Mallrats and Chasing Amy are some of the best movies that he's ever done. And I don't know why it worked, but something about Clerks made people interested. I don't get it.
I mean, no, I'm with you, because I find nothing good about Clerks, but the other two, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to strike out before you hit a home run, but it's also weird sometimes when you watch something, you're like, wow, that was awful. Why? How did they convince somebody to give them more money to make a better movie the second time? Because I think that takes a lot of faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it.
Yeah. So, awesome. Awesome. Awesome choices. I had another question about what on the flip side of that. So we talked about Hitchhiker's Guide. What do you have any other examples of like something that could have been or should have been great, or you loved it and there was more to tell and then it just didn't happen for whatever reason?
Okay. So, I may have interpreted that differently, but I do have some examples for how you rephrased it. So one that should have been great and fell flat was when they rebooted Godzilla. So that first one with Bryan Cranston, I thought that as a Godzilla movie, that was very boring. He was hardly in it, and there was a lot of dialogue, a lot of human stuff. But when you have Godzilla King of Monsters, which is one of my absolute favorites, and then Godzilla versus Kong, which had its ups and downs, but that was easily one of the most confusing trilogies, because it's very much like had a flat line and then a hard spike and then another flat line in terms of my enjoyment of them. But I feel like Godzilla.
Now we can disagree.
Okay.
I gave you your one truce. So we have to disagree about something, because I loved Godzilla, the first one.
Okay.
Because I actually liked how kind of mysterious they made Godzilla for like most of the movie. But when he finally like stands up and he's like, and he does like his first like Godzilla roar, like Jared and I both were talking about, Jared was like, my inner 8-year-old was like, fuck yeah. Like it was like everything I had ever wanted to see in a Godzilla movie. Like I was like, oh, he looks so cool. And that he turned out to be, again, because I know nothing ever going into anything, that he turned out to be like the protector and the good guy against these horrible things. Which is why I think I watched the first part of Godzilla versus Kong, but like Kong was also the good guy in his story.
Right.
So I didn't want to see them fight each other. I was like, no, just form like a big monster Justice League. That's fine. You guys don't have to.
That's what the whole King of Monsters. That's what that whole thing was about.
Well, yeah, because King Kong and his, or not King Kong, sorry, Godzilla and his girlfriend Mothra were like kicking ass and taking names. Cool. But then, like, why are they fighting? Just tell me, why did they have to fight King Kong? Or why did he have to fight King Kong?
So, they were fighting King Ghidorah and all that because he was an intruder, he was an alien, he was invasive. But Godzilla is the dedicated King of Monsters protector of Earth in that he doesn't care about humans. Let's be real about that.
Right.
But he is the protector and the most powerful of all monsters. So he's the alpha of alphas.
Okay.
And that needs to be established, as that's just an animal kingdom thing. So they brought King Kong in to try and kill him because of the amount of damage and things that Godzilla does to them.
See, and it threatened his position.
I didn't either.
Like that.
Yeah. But yeah, Godzilla came into the fight weakened. Like, they gave him King Kong every advantage, and you know what? He still got his ass kicked.
I don't want to see him get his ass kicked either. Like,
I did because I got tired of the fanboys, because Godzilla's better.
Were there the things I miss? Are there like King Kong versus Godzilla? Like, is this like a thing?
Heated arguments, all a buzz the whole time. But here's the deal. And I'm leaning in close because I'm acting like I'm talking to her at the table. If you're Italian,
tell me what the deal is.
Yeah, if you're Italian, you know I got a finger pointed at her right now. Here is the deal. Just by sheer size, Godzilla is minimum 30 stories tall. I don't know how tall a story is, but you know what? He was taller than everything in Boston. King Kong, about 200 foot tall on a great day. All right, climbed the Empire State Building.
Yeah,
Godzilla sees over it. So I don't want to hear it.
Wait, yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Now, they went on to say that he shrunk and he lost a lot of power because of how much he expelled or used against King Ghidorah. Whatever. He's still base size, much larger.
He's a big fucking lizard.
Yeah. So and there King should Kong's there should have monkey. Never been. Should have never, ever been.
No,
I mean, if you even think of the Peter Jackson one. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It should never happen. But it's fan base versus fan base.
Oh, man.
And I hope I piss some people off saying that. Because I'm ready.
Listen, guys, don't fucking at me, all right? You come after Doc for this shit. I was just facilitating this.
Hickory Doc 86 on Instagram. I look forward to your letters. To quote Craig Ferguson, if you remember the Late Late Show.
Oh, he was my favorite. He was my favorite Late Show.
Yeah.
This is not anything to do with intros or trilogies, but I fucking hate stupid, unnecessary matchups like that. Like, why did Batman and Superman need to fight? They didn't. They could just be friends. Why did fucking Iron Man and Captain America have to fight? They fucking didn't. They really didn't. I know that they do in the comics, and it makes much more sense in the comics. And it should have been an Avengers movie, and it was fucking Captain America instead, and they ruined a perfectly good Captain America movie. Like, fucking look at it. It's got Iron Man in it. It's got fucking Spider-Man in it. You just like put all the wrong ingredients in my Captain America movie.
I didn't understand that either.
Greed. Yeah. Greed, yeah. Thy name is Robert Downey Jr. He pitched a big bitch about not being in it or whatever. Well,
if they were going to insist on that specific story, Civil War, and about the covering of his parents, then yeah, he needed to be in that movie. But that particular story arc should not have happened for a Captain America story. It should have been something totally different.
It should have been an Avengers movie. Should have been or whatever. Who cares? Anyway.
Personally, I think Baron Zemo should have been his second movie or third movie instead of him being Ultron, because Baron Zemo is a very good Captain America villain. That's different too.
I liked Zemo as a villain, and I liked Zemo as a villain in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, he was great, but he should have been in Captain America movie.
Yeah, I liked that he was basically a secret basically like a secret pimp. He was like their sugar daddy. Like, they broke him out of prison and he's like, yeah, I'll fly you around on my private jet and buy you all these new clothes and jewelry and take you to Madripoor and drive around in fancy cars and, you know, stay in my great estate where we have like free drinks and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. Like, where in career day was their secret pimp? Like, is that something that I can apply?
Did you see his coat?
I know. But it's just like, you know, they had stupid, like, you know, accountants for career day. It's like, no, where's the fun stuff?
How do I become a secret pimp from Sokovia?
Or how do I work for the secret pimp?
I don't need to be in charge.
That's not on LinkedIn. Like, I don't get it.
It's a secret. Anyway, I don't like the matchups like that. So I don't.
Right.
I never want to see my favorites fighting each other because I'm a basic bitch. And if you just made movies about them all living in the same place and like having family dinners and movie nights and being friends and getting along and occasionally getting into some hijinks where like some bad guy steps in for the day and is like, and then they wrap it all up Scooby-Doo style by the end and then they go and have dinner.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of merits to that.
Happiest. I would be the happiest girl in the world if they would start making movies like that.
Yeah. I just, you know, Batman vs. Superman as a movie without the proper legwork is absolutely insulting.
It's why do they fight in the comics? You would know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it jumps in right at that. So you have to fill in some of the gaps. But basically, the heroes need... The government demands that they be checked. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like what happened with the
Accords.
And Marvel. Yeah, with the Accords. Yeah. I mean, that's for movie terms. But so similar thing. And a lot of heroes left or were dealt with, arrested, or they joined. Mm-hmm. And Superman being Superman, he always sided with the government. And this is all Reagan's initiative because of when it was. But Batman, of course, said absolutely not. Green Arrow also said absolutely not. Wonder Woman just went back to Themyscira. Aquaman went back to Atlantis. Was like,
I don't need this shit. Bye.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like, well, if we're not doing this for this and you want to try and make me a government agent, no, that's just not, I'm just going to leave. So that's, you know, how that went. But because Green Arrow was so adamant about not doing it, that Superman ripped off his shooting arm. And that was kind of like a final.
Oh,
yeah, that was like a bullet. That was a period on the end of a very intense statement saying, you know, stop.
Jesus, and, Clark, get yeah, together.
So Batman, you know, still did his thing. He backed away a lot, but he, of course, still is Batman and Superman. You know, never wanted to hurt him. Never wanted to do anything with that. Always wanted him to see his side of it to make things easier and help be accountable for stuff, even though Batman's always accountable and he pays for everything that he destroys, but
yeah,
neither here nor there. So the reason that they fought was vigilantism versus, you know, being a responsible citizen. And that's just why that happened.
I don't like this.
Not, you're an alien and I'm Ben Affleck. I'm going to stop you. Like, piss off.
No,
it was insulting.
It's just, yeah. When I saw that was happening, I was like, why? Why do we need this? Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, no, it's like they have to build the Justice League because they're trying to catch up with the Avengers. I'm like, fine, whatever. You guys stay over there and do your Justice League bullshit. You stay away from my Avengers. They didn't, of course. So, you know, then we had all the ruin.
The Warner ruination. Brothers, Warner Brothers, ever since they bought DC, has been a complete letdown. They have no patience. They have no tact. They just ruin everything by rushing.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Motherfuckers. All right. I have one example of the opposite of what we were talking about before. So this is the flip side of, like, I thought this was a great start. I don't know why there wasn't more. There's this movie, and I believe it is a book. I believe it is a book. I could be wrong. Adapted from Beautiful Creatures by Margaret Stoll. So this movie/book is called Beautiful Creatures. It came out in 2013. And
it rings a bell.
It's like a teenage witch. And she's sort of like coming of age and she's about to like come into all her power. Yes. And she meets this very nice boy who is kind of the outcast. They have a very sweet connection in South Carolina. The scenery was gorgeous. It was on like all of these old plantations with like the hanging moss and these like beautiful old houses. Yes, if you squint, if you look too hard, you start feeling gross about why they're so gorgeous and beautiful. But, like, they do look nice. They contain horrors, but they look really good. And much like myself. But it's like so beautiful to look at. And I thought it was a compelling story. I wanted to know more about what was going to happen with this family of witches. And I'm the only person I know who liked that movie. Like I've pitched this to many people. They're like, Emily, that movie was garbage. It's like you watched on a plane with no sound and maybe it's watchable. It's garbage. You're wrong though. I think I thought it was really good. And there's one part that's always stuck with me, which is, again, this movie that got like a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes, where he takes her to the library and he's talking about his mom who passed away. And he said, when I was little, she took me here and she said, this is my church. And this is where I come when other people in town go to church. This is where I go for answers and to feel a sense of peace. And I want you to, you know, experience that with me. And that always just like touched my heart and soul. And he was like this outcast. Yeah. Cause it was like a super religious, you know, thing. And like all the girls in the school didn't like the witch girl because she was a witch. And they were like, oh, we have to go pray about her. But they were just like mean, you know, uber Christian bitches. It had all the things that I like. And yeah. I haven't read the books, but now that I know there are a bunch of them, because I was like, well, I don't want to get invested if like maybe there was only one book, because like then I'm just high and dry twice. But there's not. Apparently there's a whole series. I'm going to check those out of the library. And yeah, it was great. And nobody believes me.
I mean, I remember the trailers for that, looking at some of the pictures, and I remember that it was on my radar and I wanted to watch it, and then it just didn't happen.
Well, don't worry. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
According to the interwebs, it is on Hulu, and I'm going to watch it today, actually, because what did it get? Yeah, it got a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. Undeserved. At least a 75, I would give it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's all I need to hear.
A solid C from me.
Yeah.
That's what it gets. No, it was good. It was good. It was cute. It was another one that I took my sister to, and I was like, yeah, we're like really knocking these out of the park of like shit I want to see more of. And then it didn't happen. Also, I mean, we're getting a little into, probably should start wrapping up, but this was also during the YA craze, the lunacy.
So many stories.
So many things that came out. But talk about a movie I was hoping did not take off. A series I was hoping did not take off.
I'm really hoping we're saying the same answer here.
Because mine was Divergent.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That is 100% it. Divergent at its face had all the same pieces, had everything. And you know what? The first book wasn't bad. My mom actually read it and she told me about it because she likes reading those
things. I read the first book. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I get it. It's like a futuristic sorting hat kind of thing. I like stories that where people have roles and clandestine to do things. And yeah. I like that. But that second book, all right, it had some momentum. And then I was like, you did not know how to finish this. You really didn't. And you just vomited on these pages. And I say that with, you know, obviously not having anything published. I made $0 and 0 cents for my written word. However, I can have an opinion as an American. Trash.
Trash. We vote it's trash. No, it was like I read the first book and I watched the first movie and I was like, I don't want any more of this, because face value. It's one of those things that it's like face value. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. Sorting hat. But like way higher stakes. You can't ever fucking see your family again. Like, you're sequestered forever. And then like the more I thought about it, I'm like, wait, so she's being punished and hunted for being a well-rounded human being?
That was a very boring like commentary on America. I'm like,
There was an SNL skit that I always think of when I have to get sorted into something for work, where they did it as like a, it was a YA trilogy, or it was like a YA trailer sketch. And you know, the end charge was everybody was running with swords and stuff, and they were like, "We will not be categoried." And that's always how I feel, like when I'm like put into groups or breakout rooms or whatever on Zoom at work.
Yeah,
it's just like it was just like a big trend of like every teenager has to fit into a category.
Yeah, and it's just such a bad. It's not even stereotype. It's just it's almost a trope at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just come on. There's okay to do it, but be a little more subtle about it. Like, you're almost establishing 80s clicks in a movie.
It like, was, yeah, I mean, I had the same feeling watching that as I did when I watched High School Musical, where I was like, I'm sorry, is the main conflict here that people are not allowed to like more than one thing?
Yeah, great example. Disney, let's keep those lunch tables separate, huh? Popular kids, you eat up front. We want to see those pretty faces.
There are several songs in that movie about like, I can't let anybody know I have varied interests.
What will people think?
You don't even have to like act on them. You could just do these things, guys. Like, you don't have to bake in secret. It's okay.
I play sports, but I like to learn.
Oh my God, what do I do? And like, and then you take that insane idea and then you apply it in Divergent, where it's like, oh no, I like sports, but I also appreciate sometimes occasionally helping people. Well, you have to fucking pick one. And you know what? If you pick the wrong one, you'll die. And also, no matter which one you pick, if it's the same, if it's different than your parents, you'll never see them again.
Yeah. Like, way what? Too heavy. And that's one of those things I talk about, an establishment of logic and rules to your universe. Mm-hmm. That was, I don't want to have to think about it because I don't know how to. So I'm going to create hard lines.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be creative. And that's bad.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's really what it was. Like, I remember watching it being like, and they're so obvious. It's like Dauntless is Gryffindor. And
yes.
The ones in, I don't remember all of them, but the ones that are in blue are clearly Ravenclaws because they're like all the accountants and shit.
Yeah. Erudites.
And then there's the nice ones that are obviously Hufflepuffs that she came from.
Yeah.
And then was there an evil one? Was there a bad one?
I feel like it's been so long.
But who cares? Because we didn't like this anyway. But yeah, I feel like the whole, yeah, I mean, just, yeah, the whole idea of, you know, Kate, first of all, Kate Winslet being a villain, I can't.
But she does have a really good face, you know, like,
She can be power stern. Yeah, she can be powerful, but like, that she was like the head of the, you know,
the whole thing.
Yeah. The whole thing and the bad government and whatever. Like, that she was like the President Snow. I'm like, my Katie.
No. It's just, there are a lot of problems with it. We're not even, like, not strictly movie, of course. Just, I mean, Cheyenne Woodley should have never been cast into anything ever. I think she's trash. But it's just... funny, 'cause
somebody referred to her as their bitch-eating crackers. I feel like Jules would know it. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
No, but I'm going to say it to her and she's going to cough laugh.
Jules is going to know what it means. But for those who don't know, if you say somebody's your bitch eating crackers, and I don't know how I didn't know this before because I've literally said this about people, but you just hate somebody on site. Like, you, they could be doing anything and you could be like, look at that bitch just sitting over there just eating fucking crackers. Like, doesn't matter. She's not doing anything to you and you hate her. Shailene Woodley has that vibe for so many people. I could take her, leave her. I think she's about as interesting to watch as a piece of toast. But I don't hate her actively, but there are so many people for whom that girl is their bitch eating crackers.
I just, as an actress, she has about the same range as Kristen Stewart. But she has an ego of somebody that's won awards, and you could point her out to 50 people on the street, and I have no idea who you are. Yeah. You're in Hollywood. Like, I don't get it. Like, your impact is the same as mine. in the movie world.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we agree on that. Because if you were like, oh, Divergent's one of my favorites, I'd be like, oh, weird. I have a bad connection. And that's it.
New phone, who dis? Like, that's what the future text would be.
That's it. We're done forever. 20-year friendship. Done.
Yeah. Done. Yeah, that was just, that was a huge swing and a miss. But again, it's like you said, it came at the right time and people wanted those stories and they just gobbled them all up.
They did. Yeah. All right. Let's wrap up by just like kind of a all together sort of thing. So if you were planning a story in three parts, how would you attack the first piece? Or would you attack it all together?
So my way of approaching stories, it's, I think more and more people do it the more I talk to them about it, is I think about a general idea for how I want some to start. You know, I think of kind of characters, something interesting, like an interesting event, and then work around that event. And then I always think how I want it to end. So I think of general idea, the very end, usually some kind of a cool scene, and then I fill in my pieces as I go. So if I'm going to create a trilogy, and I have one in the works right now, it's about establishing, you know, those 5 points that I said at the top there about making things interesting. What are my rules? What, you know, so on and so forth. But there's a structure in writing, and people, I think, often take the acting way of things to art, where it's always and then. Mm-hmm. And when you do everything as an and then, you can get confused. You can get muddled with your idea, and that ruins your intent. So if you stick to a dynamic of because and so, as opposed to if and then, you're going to have a better story by nature, that because you have to justify the because. Okay. So because Voldemort cursed Harry, he therefore had to, you know, fight. He had to be the one to end him. Right. Because he was the only one, you know, like the because and so makes sense.
Yes.
If and then, that's how you do a one and done. That's how you act. That's how you do the one performance. You have to because and so. That's the only way to maintain homogeneity in your story. So if I were to do it, I would have to do that.
And I think it's great. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great. So I feel like we're at like a good spot to.
Have me shut up. I get it.
Hey, Doc. That's enough. It's also late for me because it's.
Yeah. It's, I just, bedtime. If you're going to self-deprecate yourself the whole show and I don't have time to chime in and tell you you're wrong, I need to get a jab in on me too, because I'm sad as well and I will not be bogarted, all right?
Listen, there's room for more than one sad bitch on this podcast, all right? We can be sad bitches together. And
that's what I have to tell you. Move aside, let me cry. It's my turn.
It's my turn. You're a bad host. Don't let your guest cry enough.
Yeah. Sitting there insulting yourself, and I'm over here like, no, you're so smart. You're so pretty. I love you so much. No. Anyways, moving right along. That was 12 minutes ago. I can't circle back. This is garbage.
Oh, Christ. Oh, God. To think I went 3 years without having this dude on my podcast. And it's been like 10 since I've seen you in person. So I'm super stoked that I'm going to be moving back and we can remedy that. Yeah. Maybe the next one we can actually record in person.
That would be really good.
That would be so fun.
Yeah. What did I say? You're an hour and a half, almost not even 2 hours, or maybe just shy 2 hours away. Yeah. So easy.
Yeah. And I could tell you to come up and like, hey, we'll do a podcast, and then I'll also make you do home improvement projects.
Yeah.
He's got a guys, you can't see it. He has his drill literally next to him. Yeah. Any given moment.
You think I am not ready at all times?
I have level and drill will travel to Amazon.
Not level, stud finder. Oh, all right, fuck. And now, I don't even as know. A rule, as a man over 30, it works. You gotta use it. It works.
All right, we're gonna end on that dad joke. That was great. Thank you, Doc. Thank you so much for lending your thoughts to this. I'm so excited to do part two. The rest of you guys, I know I didn't give you any fix this time, but this is a new part that we're working on. This is a new thing that we're doing. So it's a storytelling part. So my challenge to you, how about instead of reading, you guys think about how you would start a trilogy, or if you're feeling crazy and you want to start a trilogy, I think you should take this time to do it. Listen to this episode. Or whatever. You're already here, so I mean, I assume you've gotten this far. Listen to this, take our advice, which is take it or leave it. I mean, we're it's as famous really as you good. Know we are. So, yeah, no. Do what you will with this. I had a lot of fun. I hope you guys did too. Doc, I hope you had fun, and then you'll come back for parts 2 and 3.
Oh, I absolutely will. I'm going to have a more regular schedule. We can actually get this done in a timely manner. Yes. I had a really good time. This was fun talking. We usually text. We don't talk a lot in person. So this was fun. I hope everybody out there had a good time. Trying to be amicable and trying to be funny. I usually just sit on an engine all day listening to someone mouth breather on the other side. They're talking about how great Trump is, and I just can't have it.
Well, I hope this is a palate cleanser for you, my friend.
Oh, this is everything I needed.
All right. Good. Okay. Well, everybody else, thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And until we meet again, as always, get your shit together.